Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together in thy house to worship thee. So we now worship in the hearing of thy word. Lord, we thank you for thy word, that it is eternal, that it has great blessings for our hearts. Lord, we pray that thou will give each of us ears to hear thy word from deep within our hearts, that within each of us your name will be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord has laid on my heart a message. I've been working on it in my mind and heart for a number of weeks. And so this week it came to fruition and putting together. And just trust it'll be a blessing to your own hearts. You know, we look up, we have lights here. You listen, you hear sound. And, everything is made possible through electricity. There's wires all over the place to make it possible for many things to take place, like the AC and the heating and the sound, the lights, all wired. Some of you have been downstairs when ceiling panels have been out, and you've seen the wiring process that goes under the floor, and you think, wow, so much wiring. Others of you may have been in the control room downstairs, the electric control room, and seen the big panels of for the electric to be all the current going from those panels. They're all labeled as to what section does what. And it's quite a process taking place just to make it possible for us to be here. Our bodies are very unique. And we have a control panel in our bodies called the brain. There's an electrical system that is just profound in our bodies. They said it would take miles and miles and miles of wires to just maintain the electrical circuitry in our bodies. Every organ of our body functions by electrical circuitry. I lift my hand, I move my fingers. I can't do it. The signals from my brain make it possible to move. And what God has given us is just so great and marvelous. I wanted this morning to go to the electrical circuitry of this body, the brain. Only not this electrical circuitry, it's a little portion of the brain that of the area that I want to cover. It's the mind. God has given every one of us a mind to think and process information. From birth all through life, information is being processed in our brains and is being stored there. They say, I forget what exact percentage, but it's a very, very small percentage of our brain, the section for the thinking process that actually is used. The ability God has given us is just so profound, but there it is. With our mind, there is a thinking process that takes place. And that thinking process sends circuitry to the soul. And within our soul, there is the intellect, the emotion, and the will. We have knowledge that's there, and that knowledge is still increasing. Like, for example, as a pastor, I've done a lot of studying in this book. Pastor Parsons, much studying. and all still in the process of learning more. So wonderful. I was talking with the pastor this week, and I say, tell him how I appreciate setting under his ministry and just gaining more wonderful spiritual knowledge from this book. God's Word, having that information for us. It's processed to the intellect and then the will is going to do something about it. What do we do with that knowledge? And it's communicated. Some of it through movement, some of it through words, all different types of expressions taking place. This morning, I'd like to have us look at our minds and look to see what the Bible has to say about the functioning of this mind. And as I was working on it this week, actually going to the Bible Encyclopedia and just following that one word, mind, through the scriptures, jotting down information, Bible verses, dealing with it, and I had a lot of fun with it. Then processing it into a message divided into three areas. I'd like to have us look together at three areas of the function of our minds. First of all, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 as we introduce these thoughts. And you'll see my title in verse 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now my title comes, Fulfilling the Desires, and I skipped over flesh, but went to the desires of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the mind. And as it's carried out in our thinking process. Now every one of us have come from a point where we were not saved. We were born in sin. We were born lost sinners. And the Bible has quite a bit about what it says on the mind of the unsaved. So that's where I want to start, as our minds once were, and possibly there are some here, that's where your mind is right now, the mind of the unsaved. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, if I go back to verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Our minds were blinded. Still in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 3 and verse 14. Again, think of the minds blinded. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same vein untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And even the next verse, but even unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their hearts. The minds blinded, unable to understand and appreciate wonderful spiritual truths. That's where we once were. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Most of you are in situations where the workplace where you work, things you have to hear, you do not appreciate. Those of you who are in surroundings where it is godly, it's wonderful not to hear conversations that you do not even want to think about. But that's what I know is the case of some of you in your backgrounds, what you have to listen to. And I'm certain when it comes to the middle of the week, it's just wonderful to come to the assembly meeting together and wow, being away from the conversation that's bombarded you all around you. Pure things, but instead the mind and conscience defiled. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. And if I could go back one verse. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Their minds are all centered on earthly things. Just think, that's where we were at one point. But isn't it wonderful, beloved, that those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've come to that point in life where our eyes were opened to the truth of God's Word, who Jesus Christ is, and we received Him into our hearts, and a wonderful miracle took place, being born again. Wow. And I so often think of that wonderful miracle having taken place in my life, that moment I received Christ in my heart, I not only saved, but the Godhead came to live in me and remains in us. You know, we read the Old Testament, it means about the coming and going of the Spirit, but we have the promise that God the Spirit, the whole Godhead, remains in us forever. Wow. We go through some tough times, and the Lord being with us step by step along the way. It is just so wonderful. Those earthly things, the minding those earthly things, we don't want that anymore. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And then verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Wow. The mind, things of the mind, vain, wrong, separated from God. But then God did something wonderful in us. Thank God for it. One more verse, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Given over to reprobate minds. You know, we have the news on, things we listen to, and you think, how can this nation be in that process of just thinking wrongly, so clear to see what's right to do, and not wanting to do what is right? Reprobate minds. Minds not centered in God, not wanting God. But God has changed that in us. I want to change gears to a second type of thinking. We've looked at the thinking, the mind of the unbeliever. But now let's look at the mind of the believer, the born-again believer. Let's come back to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1, and you hath he quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we're made alive. And to think that in this marvelous creation of our bodies, a body, a soul, and a spirit, and you're all familiar with the fact that none of us can see the real you, the real me, because we live in a body that's of clay, and the soul and the spirit are the real you and me. But my soul, my spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, and it was given life. And you know, when the new birth took place, not only did the Godhead come to live in me and you, my body, your body, or a portion of the body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what a magnificent thing to explain. The dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, the whole triune Godhead living, and that's the spirit part of us where they're living. A temple. Wow. God gave us life. Jump down to verses 4 and following. But God, oh, isn't that wonderful? And you know, I think I've mentioned before, a combination of two words you see quite often in the scriptures, but God, a big contrast of something wonderful to take place. And here we have it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace he is saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Well, I always like doing Bible diagramming. So as we look at a sentence, let's get that sentence right together to what, without all the little additions to it, see what it said. Now you see, but God. Now you have to come down further to find what he's done. But God, verse 4, in verse 5, hath quickened us. God hath quickened us, made us alive. And verse 6, and hath raised us up. God hath quickened us and raised us up. Wow. And so we have life, and he's raised us up to sit in heavenly places. So here we are. We're here, but we're able in our thinking to be where God is and have that mind of Christ. We'll be thinking of that a little later on. God has changed us so much that we may be in the midst of great problems, and we have a song there. And I'm sure many of you have come through some tough situations of life, and in your mind is a song taking place, and yet you're in a sad situation of life, but God puts a song there. Wow, what God does in us and makes possible is so wonderful. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. In the context, it's talking about the believers in Berea in correspond in just a relationship to the believers at Thessalonica. And it said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Readiness of mind. And God makes our minds ready, wonderful. And it gives us a desire to look into this book. And I trust that with every one of you here, you are not satisfied just to be opening this book on Sundays or Wednesdays when you're with the assembly together in church. But you want to open this book on a regular basis to see what God has to say. So we're searching the scriptures and letting those scriptures come deep within us. It is just so wonderful, the opportunity we have. We have that. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, I plead with you to do this, what's mentioned here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and this is what he now beseeches them, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's he pleading? That we be willing to put ourselves on the altar of sacrifices they did in the Old Testament, and Lord, I'm an offering unto you. Saying, Lord, you mean everything to me. You are number one in my life. So let's look at the next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is so wonderful, so marvelous. But do we really and truly want the will of God in our lives? I think I've given this illustration, but the event transformed my life regarding the will of God and my wife's life. Our youngest child, 3 months old, was deathly ill, would be deathly ill in a matter of minutes. And a doctor said, what I want you to do, 3 choices, 2 doctors involved in the hospital. They said within 1 hour of the attack taking place, have this little child taken to one. They can't get to the doctor's office, go to the hospital. And they're all in tune of the problem. And he'd be treated. And we knew that we could mark it right on the calendar. Between day 14 and day 21, an attack was going to take place, just regular. And the little baby was just in intense pain. So while he was under the attack, we had to walk, just keep him over our shoulder and walk. You couldn't sit down on a rock. You couldn't sit down in a chair. He was only comfortable if you walked. And sometimes it was at night, and you just, by the hour, walk. And I remember we had a young fella from my home church staying with us for a few weeks, and he even took turns on walking a little baby. But at the same time, we were praying, oh Lord, this little innocent child, oh, just long to have you heal him. We asked a number of people to be in prayer. And then one night, Winnie and I were having quiet time together, and God just hit both of us. Boy, what a bang it hit us. You are praying wrong. Ray, you are praying wrong. I want you to pray for God's will. That my will, you just sincerely mean my will. The two of us chatted together. Do we really and truly want God's will in this matter of illness? And we made the decision, yes, your will. We both thought that God's will was going to retake that little life. But God did a little change. It was a miracle. It took place. They were doing blood work. Every time we took him to the doctor's office or to the hospital, and the doctor said, the white cells are just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. But the doctor said after a couple of blood tests, something's happened. The white cells are not multiplying. In fact, they're decreasing. And a few months later, we moved from the area, and the doctor says, your baby isn't totally well, but he's going to be. So we didn't do anything. Something took place. And we learned right then, God's will all the way. God's will all the way. Mean it right from the heart. God's will all the way. All right, coming back to where we were, Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has got to change gears, renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is perfect. Still in Romans, let's go back one chapter, chapter 11. In verse 34. And for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? God's mind. Wow. In other words, his will, his way, different, but it's perfect, and we can prove it along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in us. Isn't that wonderful? We have the mind of Christ in us. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. And verses 18 and 19, Paul is given a testimony of what God had been doing to him. And he said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 19, humility of mind. Paul, a humble person. We as believers need to be humble before others and before God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And in this, humbleness of mind. And what does God give us? A wonderful peace in our hearts. I'd like to change gears a little bit again. We've looked at the mind of the unsaved. We've looked at the mind of the saved. But now I want to change gears a little bit so that the mind of the saved is seen when he steps back a little bit and falls back a little further, and, well, things aren't quite the same as they used to be. This is what happened in Corinth. The believers there, powerful church, a greatly blessed church. God blessed the Corinthian church in so many, many wonderful ways with special blessings, and yet in the first book of Corinthians, Paul addresses in the third chapter, ye are carnal. Believers, carnally minded, just stepping away from God further and further and further away. And sometimes as a believer reaches the carnality area of his life, you probably know some professing believers that way, you can't tell by looking at them whether they're really saved or not. There's nothing there displaying salvation in Christ. And you may be right, they may not be saved. It may be just a profession of faith that was made and not really saved. But we know as with the Corinthians, they were addressed as being saved people, but very carnal in their ways of life. Let's look at a few verses that speak of the carnal mind. Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is, note, enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither again can be. So then they that are in in the flesh cannot please God. Sad. Saved, yet carnal, but the way they're living, not pleasing God at all. Coming back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body of by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Puffed up fleshly mind. Sad that believers can get in that condition. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Sad. Believers like this. I hope no one here is in that category. You would be seen by others as very carnal in your living, but the desire to please God. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And verse 8 mentioned, he humbled himself. And here's the believer, the mind of Christ. That's the direction we want to see each other going. Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Going God's direction. We have the new man. Let's stay with things of God. So wonderful. Romans 8:27. You notice I've changed gears now from carnality back to the believer living the spirit life. In fact, take verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you think, the mind of the Spirit, We wanting the mind of spiritual things, but in this, the context of this passage, the Holy Spirit knows the mind, the godly mind, as he makes intercession for us before God. And he knows, you know, it's wonderful. We don't know how to pray sometimes. We just don't know for sure how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit will teach us to pray rightly. And as he brings our petitions to God, it's all in the right spirit. Hard to understand, but so wonderful. Coming back to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 8. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according as he hath not. And what I had in mind here is the willing mind. I've seemed recently a great blessing from many of you. And we've had a situation where there was a big empty spot of filling in. Who would cover in the absence of this person? And my heart's been so blessed to see how the Lord laid on many of your hearts to step right in and do. It's wonderful. Looking to the needs of others. Or as we've seen some set aside, I remember I've been in that situation myself with when my wife was there and had needs. Just to see how many of you stepped in and meals were provided. And as I've seen with some in the assembly who've been having special needs, meals have been sent in. Willing hearts. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. What God does in the believer. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. And you notice the first two words, but God. And I want to sort of diagram this verse. But God, then a negative is given. But look at the positive. So it's but God, it goes a negative, had not given us the spirit of fear. But going to the positive, God, but God hath given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's something God has given to us. We can have a spirit of fear on things, but God in its place has a sound mind, the love, what God does. So different from the normal, but what God does. And it's wonderful looking around at different ones, what God is doing. Now, it's something that I like, and I've shared with a number of you, and just share with you again. The heart that is really looking to God likes to look at some of the deep personal details that God is doing. God is interested in you, very, very interested in you as a person, and in the very details of your life. Watch for those details and thank him. You'll find you'll be thanking God quite a bit. He's interested in you. Isaiah 26, 3. I had to go back to the Old Testament for this verse, but it's just a wonderful verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou, God will keep him, that's you and me. God will keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds focused in his direction, stayed on him. When we've got problem situations, it's so easy to get our minds thinking wrongly. Now, I've told you the experience of, I was 13 years old when a sad situation happened in the home. And my 11-year-old sister was suddenly taken. And to see what happened in the home, especially with my mother, her mind was not stayed on God in the right way. It was a hard, very hard experience to go through. But she, for about 6 months, her heart, oh Lord, I hate you for what you have done. This is a terrible thing you have done. The home was unpleasant. But you know something beautiful? One of the women in the church had my mother very much on her heart and been praying for her. And the opportunity came to communicate with her, and God made a change. Wonderful. What God will do. We get our minds off focus, away from God. Oh boy, the troubles we can have for ourselves. But keeping our minds stayed on him. Then the next verse. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, some of you men who come to the men's breakfast, men's Bible studies, may appreciate this verse in a special way. We've been looking, Bible studies the Lord has laid on my heart, looking at the names of God. And right here in this verse, you see, trust ye in the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah. Trust in him forever, for the Lord, Jehovah, and then Jehovah again mentioned, just for great strength. The whole emphasis here is, believer, trust in Jehovah. He is a covenant-keeping God. What he says, he will do. Trust him all the way. It's wonderful what God is. In conclusion, I want to go back to one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. My pages don't want to turn right, but here we are. Chapter 2 and verse 16. We've looked at it once. Want to look at it again. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Beloved, in us, we have the mind of Christ. Christ is in us forever. Oh, just so wonderful. As we began fulfilling the desires of the mind, are the desires of your mind Christ-centered? This we have to control. No one else can do it. Something up to us. The keeping our minds stayed on Him. We have Christ. He's in us. Do we really and truly, is that the desire of our hearts, to be looking towards Him in every situation of life? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for who Thou art. We thank You for the greatness of Your love to each one of us, that it is personal. It's just so marvelous. Lord, help us in our spiritual walk to allow You to have Your perfect way in and through our lives, that Your name will be exalted and glorified. We thank You for Your mind and the things that belong to You. We thank You for Your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.